Sunday is a Sunday where we're focused in on what faith promises. And in Acts chapter 11, there's the Apostle Peter kind of reminding those who were questioning him about why he went to the home of Cornelius, who was a Gentile, and Peter's a Jew, and Jews weren't supposed to do that sort of thing. And Peter shares with him in that group that day of what God was doing in spite of Peter, what God was doing that brought Peter out of his Jewish world to recognize that he served a God who was for the world, not just for the Jews. And so today I want to just talk a little bit about what it kind of means to get out of the comfort zones that we sometimes live in, and to realize that the whole mission movement of the church has always been about moving us across barriers and past obstacles and out of those areas where we're comfortable in order to reach a world who desperately needs to hear about Jesus. And so can we just take a few moments here today and look at that? And in Acts chapter 11, Peter just retells what happened in Acts 10, and he does so by describing how this, while he had gone up onto the rooftop, and again, a little bit different than in our world, how they built their homes, but he was on the rooftop, he went up there to pray, but as maybe some of us have done, while he's praying, he fell asleep. Anybody ever fall asleep praying? We don't want to admit that, do we? But I've done that. We've done that. So here's Peter, and he falls asleep, but God uses that. As he's sleeping, he has a vision, he has a dream. And in that particular dream and in that particular vision, the Lord brings down out of heaven this huge sheet that has these four different kinds of creatures, these four different kind of animals and all. And he is told to kill and eat. And Peter must have looked at those animals, and one of them I'm sure that was there was the pig, right? I mean, some bacon. Peter, go for some bacon. Yeah. I knew Judy would like that. But Jews didn't eat, you know, bacon and pork and
any day.
Okay.
Well.
But anyway, Peter refused, said, no, I've never done that. I'm not going to start today. And this vision happened three times. And along the way, the Lord began to speak in this particular vision. And the statement is found there in Acts 11:9 that says, "Do not call anything impure that God's made clean." And God began to change his mind. And it's almost as soon as he began to start opening his heart up to what God might want to say about crossing a barrier that had always been there for him, there's a knock at the door, and there's three men who had come from the home of Cornelius, who is a Roman centurion. He's Greek, or Roman, I should say, but he is not Jewish. And these men ask him to come to their home because their boss wants to hear what Peter has to say about Jesus. And Peter goes, and he goes into the home. And that's what got all the other Jewish friends of his upset, because Jews don't go into the homes of Gentiles, but Peter did. But he began to realize that if he didn't do that, he'd be disobeying God's will for him, and that those who are of the Gentile world would never hear this good news of Jesus, because the good news of Jesus isn't just for me. It wasn't just for Jews. It was for a world. And we should always remember that. We still have barriers. We still have folks that we're a little hesitant to cross over and touch and talk to and share with. And so here in this particular passage of Scripture, he senses that's what he needs to do. And really, in many respects, that's kind of the continual movement of God to take us out of what's comfortable for us, what we're used to, what feels right, in order to do what God needs us to do for the sake of the kingdom work. But that's what the missionary call has always been and still is. I don't know if you realize it or not, but the Church of the Nazarene was born with missionaries already in the church before we even were officially the Church of the Nazarene over 100 years ago. We already had missionaries in India. We already had missionaries in Japan, I believe. We had some in Africa already when the Church of Nazarene's born. Missions has been a part of the church from the very, very beginning. That sense of being sent is who we are. It ties in with what Paul then ends up writing in 2 Corinthians. I just want to read a couple verses. In 2 Corinthians 5, we read, "For Christ's love is what compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." And a couple verses later it says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." God uses people like us to bring others into a relationship with Jesus. And isn't that what we pray for? Isn't that what we ask God to do through us, through his church, through the people that we send as missionaries around the world, that people's lives will be changed? Well, on this Mission Sunday, we also want to just remind you, as Nazarenes, we have over 700 missionaries around the world. And sometimes I think we forget that, you know, churches like ours pool our monies and our resources in order to be able to do that type of thing. We're in over 162 world areas. I mean, I couldn't even name 162 world areas, not by memory anyway, but we're in almost every place that you can see on a map, almost. And in some of those places that can't be named, we have what we call creative access missionaries who go into places that don't allow missionaries to go, but they go in doing other kinds of work and in the process share Jesus. It's pretty incredible to think about the whole force of moving the people of God out to wherever they're needed in order to be able to make a difference in someone's life. And we should never forget, as we sit in this space, that we live close to people who don't know Jesus yet. Right? This isn't just about missionaries on the other side of the world. We should never forget that we also have been sent. There's people we know who don't know Jesus and don't have the hope of what we talked about even earlier, of these folks who have gone on, that somehow we need to be able to share Christ with. Well, I want to give you a little insight through a video of one of the missionaries that we have. And this is a missionary, and their last name is Fothergills, okay? I have to look at it to even say it or attempt to say it, but they're in the Congo. And so if we can show that video.
We didn't bring God to Congo, we didn't bring God to Africa. God was here long before us and was working and doing many things. But it's been a huge blessing and really been humbling to see the ways in which God accepted to use us to accomplish the ministry of the Church of Nazarene. We're the Fothergills. We are serving in the Republic of Congo and Central Africa with the Church of Nazarene. My name is Gavin, my wife is Jill, and our children are Macy and Connor. There's an idea out there that pretty much everyone knows about God these days. And we're finding more and more that that's really not the case in Central Africa. And so for us, pioneering missions has really become finding people who are ready to hear about Christ. And some of those people, probably a smaller percentage of those people, don't have heard anything. Most people have heard something, and they're looking for someone who can tell them more, can show them what it means to be a Christian. A lot of what we speak about, a lot of what we're preparing people to do, is to pioneer new works, to plant new churches, and reach people who haven't been reached.
To make Christ-like disciples in the nations is almost like our banner. It means taking the message of Christ everywhere we go. Be intentional in our relationship with Christ, but also to go and share that good news with others who don't yet know, but also those who do know, to continue in that walk with Christ.
I really do think that being part of the Church of Nazarene has been an amazing experience. It's like we're small enough to be connected, large enough to have a serious impact where we are. I don't know that I would be in a place where I could so easily participate in God's mission in the ways that He's called me to.
We feel blessed, we feel taken care of, we feel like the church has been with us through this whole time. And so even though the Lord has called us to Africa, we also want to be a part of where the church needs us. And so that's where we feel like we are. We're right in the center of God's will, serving the church and serving the Lord exactly where He's called us to.
Just one example of folks that we send to other parts of the world to make a difference. But I also want you to just think about this. These days, there are missionaries being sent now to the United States. Missionaries are being sent to the United States. In fact, we kind of met one the other day at District Assembly, didn't we, Madonna? There was a lady there, her name's Naomi, and from Pakistan. Persecution kind of drove them out of there, but now they're working in Columbus to reach the Muslim world with the gospel, because you and I aren't particularly equipped for that very well, but she is and her husband is. And so missionaries are coming to the United States too, and we're a part of that. And so the reminder throughout this whole day is that we're all a part of mission. We're a part of the gospel going wherever it can be sent and taken through us in a variety of ways. Now, I want to give you something, a thought that some of you are already practicing, but did you know that you can serve the mission emphasis just by going and spending a little bit of money at Kroger's? How many of you knew that? Okay, a few of you did. There's a rewards program, and just by you using the card, don't cost you any more money, but by using that card that you have when you'll go in and scan it when you go in, you can have money designated to the Patapsco Church of Nazarene, and what we do with the money that we get from Kroger all goes to mission, okay? It goes to the memorial roll and to local mission kinds of things. And Donna's going to come up right now. She's a member of our missionary council, and she's going to explain it to anyone that doesn't understand it, all right? Because she understands it.
Hopefully I understand it. I know I have one. Good morning. As Pastor was saying, all you need to do is have one of these, and I'm sure everybody in here has a Kroger's Plus card. If you don't, well, if you're, somebody in your family probably does. And this rewards program, if you do have it and you are not enrolled, you can go to your settings, and up on the, once the settings come up, it's going to give all of your information, your name, your address, and your card number. And then there's going to be a place that says Community Rewards. You can go ahead and get the Community Rewards. And they are, again, going to ask you for some more questions. Okay, the one thing that you need to do is remember who you want this to go to, because Kroger's just doesn't do just for this. It's any, there's several different places that they will send this money to. Our organization name is the Pataskala Church of the Nazarene, and the organization number is TS303. If you do not have one of these cards, you can always go to www.krogers.com. And the three things I'll emphasize again, you want to choose community rewards to sign up for that. The organization name, Pataskala Church of the Nazarene. And this one, sorry, not used to saying, and this one is a biggie. You have to remember the number. It's TS303.
Thank you, Donna. Again, just by going to Kroger, you can help support missions, all right? Let's go to the next slide. This slide, can you see it well enough? It might be a little small. One of the amazing things here, it has all the regions. It has Africa, Asia Pacific, Eurasia, Mesoamerica, South America, and the U.S., Canada. And it talks about districts and churches and not yet organized and members and all that. One of the things I want you to notice is that Africa has 139 districts. The United States only has 78. Think about that. There are more districts in Africa than here. And in fact, there are more districts in Mesoamerica and South America than we have here. Number of churches. There are more churches of the Nazarene in Africa than we have in the United States. Did you know that? How many knew that already? Okay, a few of you did. But there are more churches in Africa than here. And then Africa has not yet organized or officially organized churches. They have another 3,900, whereas we have 734, so by comparison. And then look at the members. The number of Nazarene members, just like Sue became one for the United States here, but Nazarene members is 755,000 members in Africa. Whereas in the United States, we have 628,000. It's kind of hard to wrap your mind around the fact that there are more Nazarenes in Africa than in the United States. Especially think about this. When the Church of Nazarene got started a little over 100 years ago, it was almost primarily about the United States. But because we are an international Church of the Nazarene, and more and more and more folks being reached, there are now more Nazarenes outside of the United States by far than are inside the United States. Now, if we can go to the next picture, the Church of Nazarene is overseen by six general superintendents. And I want to just point out the international flavor even of our board of general superintendents now. It used to be they were all from the United States, but that's not true anymore. On the far left, you have Gustavo Crocker, who's from Guatemala. Standing up behind him, the taller one there, is David Busick. He's from Oklahoma, U.S. Next to him, though, we have a woman who is a general superintendent. Her name is Carla Sundberg, and she grew up in a missionary family. Her parents were missionaries to Germany, where she was born and grew up a lot. And then she became a missionary to Russia and has also been the president of our Nazarene Seminary, but now is a general superintendent. And then standing next to her is Philomile Shambo. He's from Mozambique. He's the newest of our general superintendents, but from Mozambique. And then seated in front of him is David Graves. And then next to him is Eugenio Duarte. And he's from Cape Verde. Here's the point. The Church of the Nazarene is not just a United States church. It's not just us. It's the world. And even our general superintendent leadership reflects that. I am glad to be a part of a church like what we have that has an organizational network that is strong and healthy, to where churches like ours, as we participate together, help make things like this happen. The slide before and even this slide, with general superintendents from all over the world taking leadership in the church. It's amazing to think that that's how things, the kind of things God is doing in the Church of the Nazarene. Well, one final thing I want to mention here today, and that's this. It has to do with faith promise. Some of you have seen in the bulletin every week, there's a dollar number right next to faith promise. That's our promise to God. I want to have another short little video to help explain what faith promise is, and then we'll bring this to a close, okay?
Everywhere we look in Nazarene Missions, we are seeing a movement of the Holy Spirit to bring salvation and restoration through the people of God. We believe that through faith, God will continue to do amazing things. See, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Faith is a choice, and His promise is clear. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So how do we step out in faith? How do we connect with God's promise? How do we join His movement? Every church of the Nazarene is encouraged to share a percentage of their income to Nazarene Missions. These funds are essential to spread the gospel and to support our missionaries. Many churches step out in faith beyond this encouraged percentage through faith promise. This one weekend each year emphasizes the missional work of the local congregation and the global church. They are challenged to give generously to share Christ's transformational love with the world. But this isn't a calculated pledge. It's a promise made by faith that God will provide. A promise that He will do immeasurably more than we can ever imagine. Faith promise is about stepping out in faith. It's about the giving of our resources so that the good news can be shared. God will answer our prayers of hope and fulfill His promise. God is moving through His people around the world and through faith promise. Nazarene Missions invites you to join the movement.
Like he just said, faith promise is really making a promise to God, a pledge to God and to His church, to give whatever it is that by faith you believe God will help you to give. It's over and above our tithes. It's something that's beyond that. And many of you have been a part of faith promise, I know. But today we want to just give an opportunity to pledge once again what you feel God would want you to be giving towards mission beyond your tithe, that might be able to continue to keep the missionaries on the field and continue to have that continuing outreach to happen. Did all of you receive an insert there in your bulletin that looks a little bit like this? Has a picture of Warren on it, okay? That was taken when we were in Trinidad, all right? So we were in Trinidad at the time. But yeah, we're eating pizza too, yeah. Great pizza in Trinidad, all right? But that particular sheet here, we just want you to think and pray about how God might want you to give. Whatever you feel God's leading you to give. Some of you have been giving in faith promise for years and years, and we thank you for that and ask that you continue. Some maybe hadn't even thought about it, haven't been specifically thinking about giving to mission. But if God would put it on your heart to give something, just write it on there, and then if you could turn that in here to the church, whether this Sunday or next Sunday, that would be so helpful for us. And then you can tear off the bottom part so you can kind of remember what you promised, all right? Because some of us are losing our memory a little bit, and you have to have reminders. But if it's amount per week, That's terrific. If it's every other week, if that's how you get paid and you want to do $5, $10, $20, $50 every other week, that's fine. If it's once a month, that would be fine as well. And there may be some who just feel like, well, just give a one-time gift. You can mark that there as well. But if you would take these, and if you're able and ready already today, our missionary council, could I just have our missionary council stand up, those who are here this morning, so you know who they are? My guess is if you hand one of these sheets to these ladies, they will make sure it gets to the right place, all right? But this is really something that we commit ourselves to the Lord and to give what we believe God wants us to give, and we trust that God will help provide that as we go. So, make sense? All right. Well, this morning, one of the things that we wanted to close with, and I apologize, I know our service has gone a little longer than we usually plan, but as part of the body of Christ and as part of the church, one of the things that has always been the practice has simply been to share communion together, because it reminds us that we serve Him. It's not about serving the church. It's about being the church to serve Him. And so we wanted to end our service today with communion as a way to just remind us the sacrifice He made for us is why we sacrifice to give, to pray, and to serve Him in whatever ways He calls us to do. Does that make sense? So before we go today, we want to share communion together. But I'm going to ask that we pray, and then we'll begin from the back, and Brett's going to help me to receive communion or to serve communion today. And you can come forward and return then to your seats, and we'll all partake at one time. If you can't come forward, please let us know, or if someone could take it back to you, we'll find a way to be able to do that as well. But let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank You so much for just what You have done in our lives, and what You have done for us is why we're here worshiping. It's why we give. Lord, our giving makes no sense to people in the world. Why would we give that much money for the work of God in a church? And yet, Lord, we have been blessed beyond measure because You are the one that makes life for us real and makes life satisfying. And so, Lord, we love You today. And we, Lord, just pray that You would bless as we celebrate what You have done for us through the bread and the cup. May, Lord, You just be pleased as we worship You this day. In Jesus' name, amen. If our worship team would lead the way, and then others, feel free to come forward.